This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. With the COVID vaccine in distribution, it feels as though there's a light at the end of the pandemic tunnel, even if still it's at a distance. But in Calumet, a small town in the western Green Bay Packers-loving part of the Upper Peninsula, the fight against any change in daily life due to COVID has raged and continues to rage as maskless patrons crowd a local cafe that's ignored state orders at every turn. Here with a profile of the political and social firestorm ignited in Calumet is Jonathan Osting of Bridge, Michigan. Jonathan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, April.
The profile of Calumet that you published this week has so many twists and turns. Before we unpack some of what you reported, will you tell us why you decided to do this? What got your interest about this town of about 750 people?
Yeah, well, I've been doing some deeper reporting on sort of extremism and its sort of rise in the past year. And as part of that, you know, I was looking at folks who broke into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. One of those people who's been arrested and charged by the FBI was from Calumet. So I started, you know, looking at this region and trying to figure out what was going on and, you know, realized there was a real confluence of factors that we've seen both statewide and nationally really centralized in this small location. So protests over COVID-19 orders, questions over election integrity, and a movement that sent some folks to D.C. And also, you know, just a real sort of animosity towards public health officials trying to enforce some of the orders that the governor has set up. So, you know, the local health official, Kathy Beer, told me that because the region wasn't hit as hard with COVID early on, like, say, Detroit, that really affected the perception of the pandemic up there and maybe led to some of the angst and anger we're seeing now.
It's hard because we didn't have that rush up front like everybody else did, so people got tired of waiting for it to show up. So they're very burnt out by waiting. And, you know, now that it's here, people are just tired.
At the center of this story is a cafe owned by a brother and sister that has been resisting the state's COVID rules and restrictions. It's called Cafe Rosetta. Would you tell us about it and its owners?
Yeah, so Cafe Rosetta is, you know, sort of a quaint cafe right on the main street in downtown Calumet, which, by the way, is really beautiful, has a lot of historic architecture from the mining boom back up there many years ago. But Cafe Rosetta has really just been flouting public health rules for months now. They actually had their food license taken away by the state, and they've lost some court battles over that, been fined for contempt of court for staying open. But they were very much open, you know, last week when I was up there. I actually went to that cafe and sat down with one of the owners, and the place was packed, and there were literally no masks there at all. Not much attempts at social distancing either. I did wear a mask, two of them actually, but I was the exception rather than the rule. And the cafe has really just become sort of a flashpoint in the region with folks who are protesting COVID-19 orders sort of rallying around the owner and dining there as well.
The owner, Amy Heikkinen, and her brother, did they say that their decision to stay fully open was a business decision or more of a philosophical and political one?
Well, it's certainly become a major political issue up there. You know, you've got lawmakers and county commissioners talking about it and taking sides. But yeah, they argue, Amy in particular I talked to, argues that, you know, she just, you know, didn't think she could survive if she had to shut her dining room down again during the last pause that Governor Whitmer and her administration ordered.
Yeah, my goal is to stay in business and, you know, hopefully keep it that way, but beyond politics, you know, and I don't know if I told you that, but it's not political for me. It's just the right to work and earn a living.
She, you know, says she's a mother of six who had fled an abusive relationship and, you know, doesn't want to go back to, you know, food stamps or being dependent on others, you know, and feels she's finally, you know, found some success as a business owner and wants to keep it that way.
So, Jonathan, how have Amy and her brother been able to stay open? I mean, they've been fined, they've lost their food service license. What's going on here?
Well, that's a question I asked pretty much everybody, and the answer seems to be a lot of folks are saying, well, somebody else should do it. The court orders are a civil matter, the licensing dispute, and there hasn't been an order from the judge to forcibly shut down the cafe, so state police haven't taken that step. The county sheriff, basically says he's just, a middleman here. He doesn't have the authority to shut down the cafe either without a court order or a law strictly saying he should. Now, it's my understanding that under state health rules, there's potentially a mechanism to take criminal action here, but the state has not gone that route yet. So for now, the restaurant is, Amy told me she was going to pay the first contempt of court fine she had received and was hoping to still win back her food license on appeal. The matter is, not over legally, and she's continued to keep trucking.
I think the situation is extremely unfortunate.
I spoke with Tanya Rule, who's a health official up there, and she's been the focus of a lot of anger from supporters of Cafe Rosetta and those resisting the COVID-19 orders that she's tasked with enforcing. Tanya says health officials are just trying to do their jobs.
I mean, I worked with Amy and her mom. I sat in the conference room with them in 2018 and helped them through the paperwork process, the plan review process to open their business. I, more than anyone, wanted her business to be successful. I was a customer of Cafe Rosetta prior to July of this past year. If you look in my wallet, I have two Cafe Rosetta punch cards. But I just don't think that, the whole thing is unfortunate. Her personal opinion does not put her above the law.
There's another figure that looms large in your story, and that's a local businessman in Calumet. His name is Eric Killinen. How did he become sort of the flamethrower of this narrative?
Well, he's a local businessman who's, been pretty successful. He owns a couple businesses in the region. And, he initially started fighting COVID orders when one of his own businesses was briefly shut down. He created a group called All Businesses Essential, basically encouraging companies around the state. He did this even on billboards downstate to, defy the orders, bring people back to work and treat all employees as essential, because at the time that was, one of the delineation marks. So he has, though, really, emerged as sort of the leader of this anti-government movement up there that's sort of fed into, the conspiracy theories.
There is no pandemic. This is a manufactured crisis to allow Biden to steal an election, as far as I'm concerned. That's precisely what happened.
And although he acknowledges that COVID is real, he thinks that deaths are really blown out of proportion and just a part of life. So he's, organized protests. He has taken out a full-page ad in the local newspaper to criticize the regional health department. And he's really rallied around Cafe Rosetta. When I talked to him, he actually joined Amy, the co-owner, at Cafe Rosetta and appears to really have, focused on that cafe as sort of a real fighting point here. And he's hired a public relations firm even to take their story national.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Jonathan Osting of Bridge, Michigan. He's published a story this week on Calumet, Michigan, and the very particular brew of politics and COVID restrictions that have come together in a pretty combustible way there. There's a man in your reporting, Jonathan, who got some attention for being part of the group that stormed the U.S. Capitol during the January 6th insurrection. He's a Trump supporter, a racist, and a conspiracy theorist. And he's also the adult son of a respected former state legislator. Can you tell us more about who he is?
Yeah, sure. So this is Carl Dresch. He's a 40-year-old man who was born nearby in Hancock, where his family lived, and had since relocated to Calumet. And really, we We don't know a ton about him. I wasn't able to talk to him or his family members because he is locked up still. You know, we can see from his social media profiles and activity that he'd really gone down a deep rabbit hole. He was very immersed in this local resistance movement with Cafe Rosetta. He had eaten there. He had, complained that championed them for taking on the communist state government, as he called it. But more troubling than that, you know, he was really promoting, the conspiracy theory that led to the Capitol insurrection, which was that, the election was rigged to benefit Joe Biden over President Trump. He has suggested that if folks didn't do anything, quote, if we let this election get stolen, there's going to be war. He also, really showed a sort of extremist streak earlier in the year, when the governor was the subject of a kidnapping plot that was foiled by the FBI. He lamented the fact that she got off on a technicality, meaning he hoped that those folks would have potentially kidnapped her and made what he would call a citizen's arrest of the governor because of her COVID-19 orders. And then on another social media channel that a lot of folks don't know about, it's called Gab. It was a real, rallying point for conservatives at points when they were fighting Facebook. He really opened up there and exposed some deep racism. He used the N-word. He used racial epithets against Jewish people. He smeared gay people and really, showed sort of a very troubling side in the run-up to this. And sort of, you can see a pattern emerging of how he became radicalized in the months leading up to the Capitol insurrection.
We should take a moment to just note that the median household income in Calumet, as you report, is about $21,000. That's household, not individual. It's just a very low figure, about a third of the average household income anywhere in Michigan. How much do you think the poverty of the region has been driving the political fire?
Well, I think it's a big part of it, certainly. I mean, this is a region that, has gone through some really tough times. As I mentioned, it was a boom town at one point and still has this beautiful historic architecture. But it's fallen a long ways. And, now there's a lot of folks who are struggling to get by. And the community is also, trying to rebuild itself. There is a neat downtown scene still. And, there's hopes that new development is going to come in. But there's a lot of just sort of fear, that things aren't the way they used to be, which I think is another thing, another factor that we heard from folks who really rallied around President Trump in 2016 and 2020, longing for the way things used to be. And you can definitely get that sense in Calumet. Now, the village of Calumet is just a tiny pocket in a larger region. There's a lot of communities surrounding it. And in some of those communities, there have been some folks moving in from other parts of the state or country that are bringing a new perspective there. And they're the ones who are really feuding, in some respects, with the, anti-COVID regulation folks. And it's set up this, really tense dynamic between folks who, are taking COVID seriously and folks who are not taking it seriously. There's been, verbal altercations on the street. There's been a lot of name calling on social media. One local business owner told me she knows folks are hesitant to come downtown because of the, demonstrations that have happened at Cafe Rosetta. So while I was up there, I spoke with Roy Britz, who's one of the Houghton County commissioners and is also a deputy police chief at Michigan Tech University in Houghton. And he, expressed some real fears about what was happening up there. Here's what he said.
Absolutely. I think that we're at a tipping point. I think that there's risk of civil unrest at any given moment. People are being tired of being pushed around, and people are tired of not being able to live their lives.
Jonathan, do you know if any of the people you talked to for your story contracted COVID?
I don't know if they, you know, I didn't talk to anyone directly, but certainly it's, you know, around around Christmas time, there was a spike in cases. The school was shut, the middle school was shut down last week because of a recent outbreak. Eric Kalunin, the local business guy, you know, he told me, actually, he knows a few people, including both his parents, but that still doesn't really concern him because they both survived.
Yeah, COVID exists. Do you die from it? 99.5% don't. What better? So we shut down the world for this? You know, get real. And yeah, you don't want it. You know, has my family had it? Yep. Guess what? My father just had it recently. He's just recovering right now. My mother had it, then hardly heard her. And they're 83.
Is he aware of the overall death rate in Michigan and in the United States?
He is, yeah. While I was there, though, he was pointing to a now, you know, mostly debunked analysis of CDC death statistics, and he was suggesting that the death rate, you know, actually isn't all that unusual. That's not the case, I mean, according to public health officials, but it's an argument he was making. He also, you know, spent a lot of time railing against heavy-handed government, suggesting, you know, tyrants of the past like Pol Pot or Mao Zedong have been responsible for more deaths than this pandemic, which, by the way, he doesn't think is actually a pandemic. So, he you know, basically questions the data.
Jonathan, you have these two realities throughout the state of Michigan when it comes to COVID. While the virus has now reached every county in the state, there are definitely pockets that are averse to any kind of action. And it seems like it does depend, in no small part, on where you live. What would you say all of this has to say more broadly about the political divisions in Michigan and maybe the entire U.S. and how they've deepened in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very illustrative of that, and it's sort of a sad state of affairs. You know, a lot of people I talk to up there, you know, still consider, you know, Youpers to be friendly and cordial people and seem to be taken aback by what's happening in their own community. So, yeah, I think this is a microcosm of those dynamics we're seeing nationally. And, you know, it's a real open discussion about what happens next. And folks are grappling with how to heal those divides, just like they are at the state and national level as well.
Jonathan Osting is a reporter with Bridge Michigan. You can read his story about Calumet, Michigan online. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.